It's the Brushback here on WSMIRadio.com with Jenkins and Kay Hirsch, David Jenkins, Kyle Hirschelman with you today. The fall high school sporting season is winding down, as I was just talking about with Kyle. There's not much left. You just have, golf ended this past weekend. Soccer regionals kind of came to a close, or they were coming to a close, and All the area teams were pretty much eliminated. So you've got, as far as your journal news job, you're covering, I forgot what you said, volleyball and cross country.
I stay pretty active regardless of what's going on. But, volleyball's going on. We'll have regional started up pretty soon on that. Excited for a long run for a few teams, in particular Lincolnwood, who's hosting their super sectional.
Sure.
They should have a decent chance of advancing into the postseason, and Hillsboro's got a good club too. So, and you never know. Nokomis and Litchfield could fool somebody too. So,
well, and you don't cover them, but Carlinville's pretty good, and they'll be dangerous in the postseason.
Carlinville's usually pretty talented. They're a little bit down this year, but Greenville and Pena out of the South Central Conference also really good. So,
yeah. Sounds good.
Pain is always a ton. Just always a ton. Very fun to watch.
Yeah. The reason it's so down as far as covering high school sports is because, like I said, a lot of the sports, or some of the sports, ended this weekend, including the golf state championships were this weekend, individuals and teams, and you actually got to go up there and see everyone compete.
Yeah, I went up to Decatur at Red Tail Run. That's the girls' class 1A. State tournament is held there. Callie Krager from Lincolnwood was playing in that. Did really well.
How did she finish? I've never heard about
that. She finished 22nd overall. Shot an 81 on day one, 84 on day two. Really good scores for her.
I saw she was like 6 strokes back after the first day, I think it was. So within, I think that was right, within striking distance at least.
Yeah, like I said, I think her goal was to medal. She came up just a little bit short on that, but still 22nd out of, over 100 golfers in Class 1A.
Good.
Yeah, she's done, did really well this season. So
was she a senior?
Yep, she's a senior. Nice accomplishment for her. I got a chance to talk to Bailey Sharpmack's dad. She's a young lady from Roxana, going to go play golf at Eastern. She ended up in about 50th, I believe. So, like I said, it was a good time. Went over there Friday, got some photos, got to follow Callie around for a little bit. Then on Saturday I went to the boys tournament. So,
and that was pretty fun too. Hillsboro had the team up there. Litchfield's Alex Bishop was up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think those were just about all the area golfers we had up there. But it sounds like Hillsboro, obviously, their team ended up finishing pretty well.
Yeah, they finished great. They ended up second. Friday was a rough day for a lot of teams. Their scores were a little bit higher. Strong winds. There's always strong winds at that tournament. It's kind of up on a hill, and it just seems like it whips through there. But they were 7 strokes back going into day two, behind Riverdale, which is located in Port Byron.
Yeah.
And they shot the best round of the day, 313 as a team, which is pretty stout, and ended up finishing 6 strokes back of Riverdale, who had the top 2 individuals.
We learned on Saturday, Port Byron Riverdale is Carlinville AD Darren DeNeve's alma mater.
Very good.
Yeah. So he can claim that as a state championship,
yeah.
I suppose.
Sure. Yeah, the kid that won shot a 73 and a 72.
It's pretty good.
That's 1 over par for the tournament. Maybe not 73 and 72. I can't remember. There are 2 guys that finished 1 and 2 or shot 73 and 72 on the final day. So pretty impressive run.
Yeah.
Tyler Buzzard is the kid that won for Riverdale. He's going to Iowa on a full ride. So.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
You mentioned how Friday was a rough day for a lot of golfers. I noticed, I don't remember who it was or what school he played for, but Tim had mentioned it on Sports Saturday that there was a kid, I believe he shot like an 81 or 82 on Friday through 9 holes, ended up with like 140
yeah.
after after the first day. It's like, hey, you're pretty much out of it after that. You gotta.
It's a challenging course, and also you know, whenever you get teams that have teams that qualify occasionally, they'll have, you know, three or four really, really good players, and then a couple average players, and then maybe somebody that's a little bit below average, and that's one of the challenges of it. Hillsborough is not one of those cases. They can probably throw any one of 7 to 9 guys out there and put up a really good score. So they ended up doing really well. Had two guys finish in the top 10 to earn medalist honors with Alex Eichhoff and Alex White. Alex Bishop from Litchfield tied Alex Eichhoff. So only two strokes separated the three Alexes. So it was a fun tournament.
Good way to end Alex Bishop's careers. Out of those three, he's the only one graduating. So.
Yeah, he did a really great job and looked more comfortable out there than he had the last 2 years that I'd seen him play up at State, and just played really well. Had bogey with about four holes left or five holes left, and finished out one under or those last holes with one under par. So. Really turned it on to keep his spot in the top 10. So.
You wonder if maybe he just felt a little less pressure this year just because, I mean, he was up there with both Alex Eichhoff and Alex White, and, you know, it was his last go-around, so he didn't feel necessarily any pressure.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it. You know, I mean, you always want to go out on top, too. I think part of it's experience. I think, you know, Dan Newkirk kind of alluded, you know, a big part of it's maturity. He's really grown as a person and as a player over the last 3 years. You know, he had some adversity. Some of his putts weren't falling as good as they have during this season, and he overcame it and just played really well. So, like I said, good tournament for him. Hillsborough brings back all but two of their players, Caden White and Tony Perfetti. Caden was out with an injury, Tony played really well, finished in the top 25, I think, or 20. He might have finished 28th. I can't remember off the top of my head now. But like I said, Coach Jeff Eichhoff gave them guys a lot of credit. They're the ones that kind of keep the team loose. They kind of keep them. It makes it a team more than just an individual sport. And you could tell that. I mean, they really, really seem to enjoy themselves up at the state tournament. So
right, yeah. Played really well. It'll be a good learning experience to finish second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's after finishing fourth last year. So
right.
Nice to bring home a big trophy, and it was a good weekend.
Based on patterns, you would assume they're going to win it all next year.
Yeah,
if
patterns. Yeah, so in the year after, they'll finish -1.
Yeah. They'll just fall off. Senior year, none of them will just go out. They'll just skip golf that year, and that'll be it.
Sure.
Soccer also came to a close over the weekend. We didn't have any area teams in the regional championships, but I know you covered the regionals last week. And
Actually, I didn't because they all lost on Wednesday.
Okay.
I was chained to my desk. Wednesday was our paper night, so I didn't get a chance to go, but Hillsborough was upset by Altamont.
Tutopolis.
Sorry.
They defeated Altamont in the quarters. Yeah.
In Altamont.
Yeah.
In penalty kicks, they lost 2-1 which that's a low number for penalty kicks too. So, but yeah, and then Lincolnwood lost to Sacred Heart Griffin, which is upset in technical manner, but probably not in reality.
Right.
So,
well, and then Litchfield lost in the opener in the regional quarters to Macon Meridian 3-2. So yeah, really North Mac, one of our area teams, they lost in the semis to Pleasant Plains 2-0. Southwestern lost to Springfield Calvary. So, yeah, we didn't really have any teams. Staunton lost to Beardstown. They defeated Gillespie in the regional quarters at Meridian, then lost to Beardstown in the semifinals. Carlinville, sixth-seeded, lost to Springfield Lutheran, who was the four-seed in the semi. So we didn't have anybody in the area teams in the regional championships. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's first time since about 2010 that Montgomery County didn't have a team in the title game. Yeah. But, you know, that doesn't take anything away from what they've accomplished this year, you know.
Chalked up to a tough year.
Hillsborough had a really good record with 16-5-1, I believe. Lincolnwood also finished above 500, too. So.
We mentioned how tough a draw that was for everybody, too, during our last podcast. Yeah. It was a tough draw for everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, some pretty good teams there. But, you know, you got to play good teams to advance. And I'm sure, you know, Hillsborough would have liked another crack at T-Town. But, right. You know, you get what you get.
In case you're wondering, it is the Macon Meridian sectional now. Those teams that knocked out our area teams. Beardstown is playing Effingham St. Anthony on Wednesday at 4:30. And Springfield Sacred Heart Griffin will play Pleasant Plains on Wednesday at 6:30. Winner of those two games will play in the sectional championship on Saturday at 1 at Macon Meridian. So that's how that ended up being.
And like I said, that's an upset, you know, with Sacred Heart Griffin beating Newton in the regional championship game. So
Newton was a top seed. SHG was a 5. Pleasant Plains was a 3. They defeated Riverton, who was a 2. And then Beardstown was a top seed. They'll play St. Anthony, who was a 3 seed. So, yeah.
Yeah, so...
tough year for soccer.
It wasn't that tough. It was just the hard, you know, hard regional, and
That's what I mean. Tough year. Tough regional. Tough draw.
Yep.
We can get into this a little bit since we're talking about soccer. Speaking of a tough year for soccer, like you might know where I'm going with this. The Americans, as of right now, will not have a World Cup team.
The Americans, as of period, won't have a World Cup
team. Well, I say that because I did see an interesting tweet. That somebody, I know it. There's no context behind it, but somebody said, just you watch, with as corrupt as FIFA is, they'll find a way to put the American teams in it.
Like you said, there is no context to that, and America will not be going to the World Cup, you know, I mean, and it's a disappointment, you know, for soccer fans, but they're not going anywhere, and FIFA is corrupt to a certain extent. They can't change the rules to let America go in. And you know, they've made a lot of changes since Loretta Lynch brought the hammer down on them. So, yeah. But yeah.
First time since what, 86? Is that the year?
86, 84, something like that. I think it was 86. But, you know, the fact that it is a story is a good sign.
Right.
You know, I mean, people are upset about it. It is what it is. I'll still watch. So,
right. So will a lot of the country will.
I think a lot of people will. You know, but you know, it, like I said, it is what it is, and I was pretty disappointed in it. But you know,
you're more in tune to soccer obviously than I am. Any thoughts or idea on who the next coach will be of the Americans? Obviously, Bruce Arena stepped down right afterwards.
And they're tossing around a lot of names. And to blame Bruce Arena for that is, like I said on Twitter, you know, it's like blaming the guy who makes your happy meal that it doesn't taste like filet mignon. It's just, it'll be an interesting thing because they got more intrinsic issues than just coaching philosophy.
I assume you watched it. I didn't. What went wrong?
It was on a night that I had to work. So, I watched the final 20 minutes. It's hard to explain. You know, I mean, ultimately that game is the one that knocked them out. But they lost 3 games out of 10, or won 3 games out of 10. So, you know. You can't do that in advance. You know, they were playing with fire, and the fact that they had to get 4 points out of those final 2 games, they got 3 whenever they beat Panama. But
it sounded like a tie would have got them in, because if they would have tied, something like the other 2 games would have had to been blowouts or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then, you know, Panama and Honduras both won, the United States didn't. So, you know, that's the way it goes. The Netherlands isn't going. Netherlands has been one of the biggest soccer countries in the world for a long time. So, you know, I mean, they've had their struggles you know, in the past too. But so right now I'm rooting for England and Iceland.
Crazy times. Crazy times.
Yep.
If only Mexico would have pulled it off, maybe they just didn't want the U.S. in it.
Well, the funny thing is that the U.S. kind of did that in reverse last World Cup cycle. Graham Zuzi scored a goal to Mexico's competition that guaranteed Mexico a spot in a playoff to get into the World Cup. Mexico won. They went to Brazil. So, yeah. So I really don't think that there's any collusion.
No,
I
don't think there is either.
But, yeah, like I said, it's funny that it kind of worked the opposite way this time. Yeah. So
this is true. So we can be done talking about soccer since it's, well, World Cup soccer for the Americans, not relevant until 4 years. Unless you want to watch it, it's fine. Everyone will watch it. Most people will probably watch it or at least stay updated on it.
Actually, yeah, and they'll start the qualifying cycle in probably, you know, 2020.
When is the World Cup? It's 18. Next year, but
yeah.
What is it, June? I don't remember.
You know, I'm not really sure. I know they switched the Qatar World Cup to December because it's 1,000 degrees
yeah.
in Qatar.
They're still going to have
Qatar
it there.
Or whatever you pronounce it. Yeah. So
they're still going to have it there, are they?
Yeah, okay. yeah. There was talk
of moving it. I know
planting grass over the bodies of the people that died making their stadium. So
real grass.
Real grass.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
No, they didn't actually do that. But
no, I believe
there's
you.
Been a lot yeah. of there's been a lot of political atrocities.
Yeah.
And human rights violations going along with that. So, yeah, good. The next two World Cups are in terrible places.
Come 2022, where's next year's?
Russia.
Ooh. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Well.
We got that going.
Probably good that
nice.
The Americans didn't make it. Perhaps.
Yeah. I hear it's lovely this time of year. So.
Should be. Should be. Just say the right things.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Football entered week 8. More teams clinched playoff berth. More teams got eliminated from postseason contention. Pretty cool moment at Litchfield High School. I was there. You were there with mm-hmm. Jaden Slidham. Made national news. I know that.
Yep.
With Sunday Night Football on NBC.
No, Jaden's a good kid. You know, he is always one of the more vocal ones on the sidelines. Always there for his teammates. Always cheering. He made it into the game against Vandalia. Earlier this season, and
so it wasn't his first action.
No, and had a nice run for a touchdown. Yeah. So it was a really good moment that carried him off the field. The really nicest thing was that Pena was so into it. Also, their fans.
There's a rumor that it was their idea. Was that true? Can
I don't
we
know.
Confirm that at all?
I don't know. I don't.
I wouldn't know how they would know it. Honestly.
They've played him in JFL.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jaden's has played JFL for a long time too. So, you know, like I said, it was a nice story. So
yeah, absolutely.
But no, like I said, Payne is the real deal too. So
they're pretty good,
know,
and they didn't really even use Jacob Beeson to his full potential
yeah.
either.
Yeah, they're a good team, and you know, there's been a lot of good teams in the South Central Conference this year. It seems like there's. You know, there's not that big of a gap between, you know, some of the lower level ones and the upper level ones. They've, you know, Litchfield gave Greenville a good game. You know, some other teams have
Litchfield wasn't that far away from being 4-5 on the year.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, they really were.
We're
so.
Finishing 4-5, I should say.
Yeah, which is, you know, you got to take the small victories where you can get them. So, you know, it's. Like I said, I thought it was really, you know, like I said, it was a fun game to watch. Probably less fun if you're a diehard Litchfield fan because they got walloped pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, Slidham's run at the end of the game was really nice moment. Like I said, the Pena folks, you know, all the players came down to congratulate him too.
Yeah.
So. So I think that was a really cool thing.
I didn't see anything chippy or dirty the entire game, which
no.
is always a good thing.
No, they helped each other up. Nice moment at the end of the game too with
yeah.
the prayer.
I think Pan has been doing that at all their games. I've noticed.
Yeah, I know. Hillsborough does that frequently too. So, yeah. You know, if that's your cup of tea, you know, I think that's great.
Absolutely.
If you know, I think it goes to show that regardless what happens on the field, there's more important things in life, and they all share a common bond. But
that's right.
This week was kind of the haves versus the have-nots, unfortunately.
Yeah, in the South Central, there weren't really any premier matchups looking into it, so.
No, they just, but the teams that were supposed to win, you know, won pretty big. Vandalia, Pena, Greenville, Carlinville, and Hillsboro. So I think that Hillsboro score was pretty surprising, the fact that they put 49 up on Southwestern and shut them out. So
Southwestern had scored points this year. They had lost some games and lost big, but they had scored points this year.
Yeah, and Hillsboro's defense, that's the second shutout they've had. They played really well. So
outside of the game against Pena, they've held everyone else under. Well, Vandalia ended up scoring 27, but really, I mean, they've held everybody else to like a season low.
Yeah, so that's been pretty good for them, and it'll be fun to see them back in the playoffs again. You know, this second year,
most likely going to get in. Yeah, that 5-3, assuming they beat Litchfield on Friday, go 6-3. Even if they lose to Litchfield at 5-4, normally they'll get in from the South Central Conference. I was going back; there was a year where 40 playoff points was the cutoff, and that's what Hillsboro would finish with, would be 40 points. So
yeah,
chances are they'll get in.
But you know, this will be the third time in 4 years that they'll make the playoffs. So like I said, it's a good, you know, they got some high powered weapons too.
As long as they don't run into Williamsville.
Yeah.
Cause that's who they played the last two times they made it. So.
Yep. But they were 5-4.
Right.
I believe both of those times.
They were.
So, you know, you would think, I mean, not to put the cart ahead of the horse, and I think Litchfield could give them a good game, but you'd think they'll finish 6-3 and might have a little bit more favorable matchup.
Yeah, it's going to depend, because last year was a crazy year where in the class they were in 3A, there were a ton of teams who were 8-1, and one of those 8-1 teams played a road game. So, it was very top-heavy last year in 3A. So it depends every year on what the draw is and what teams are 3A and if they even are 3A, because they're at 499, which could be a low 4A for all we know.
Really,
and they may, who knows, maybe they could end up as a very high 2A team. I mean, that's probably more unlikely, but I was going to say
if they're possibly a high 4, I would, or
low 4,
or low 4, I would,
it just
doubt
depends
be
on
a high 2.
Well, it just depends on how many of the big schools get in and everything.
They won't be a 2A team.
Most likely not, but
they won't be a 2A team.
Probably not.
Yeah. So, like,
I'm not ruling anything out.
I would. I'll go ahead and rule that out.
I'm not ruling anything out. Carlinville clinched. Obviously they technically do have shares of the conference title, however, they did clinch the IHSA representation of the South Central Conference come playoff time, because the worst Carlinville can finish is 8-1, and the best Pena can finish is 8-1. Those are the only two teams who can realistically end the season with a share of the conference title.
Mm-hmm.
Carlinville won the head-to-head matchup, so Carlinville automatically will represent the South Central Conference as the champion in the playoffs.
Which is appropriate, because I think they've been the best team all year. So, I don't know if they're as good as they were last year or not, but they're a fun team to watch. You know, Kyle Dixon and Tucker Hughes and the Easter Day. So.
Yeah, it's hard to say. They don't have a standout player like they did last year, but all around, they might be a better team.
Gabe Long is one of the only players I've ever really noticed on the offensive line. You know, that's not necessarily, you know, a position that necessarily stands out to me often. He's a big guy from Carlinville and does a really good job. So,
yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, their offensive line is pretty helpful.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes.
Their Rosentrader kid, I don't know if he plays offensive line, he plays defensive line. He stands out to me because he's like 6'7" or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
He's a big boy giant. Too.
Yeah. So, yep. Yeah. That's a good sized lad. So,
yeah. He might play tight end on the offense. I don't know if he plays lineman or not. Anyway, but yeah, they are going to represent South Central as conference champions. Pena is 7-1. They've clinched a playoff berth. Greenville and Vandalia each clinched a playoff spot at 6-2. Staunton got eliminated from postseason contention. They're 3-5. Hillsboro, like I said, still alive. They could clinch a playoff berth officially this week with a win against Litchfield, or, I mean, if they finish 5-4, they're still looking good to get in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Nokomis was officially eliminated from playoff contention by losing to, who did they lose to? East Alton Wood River, who's having a very good season there, 6-2 in the playoffs.
Again, kind of like the Litchfield deal, there's a bigger story there, too. Connor Engelman has missed the first 7 games of the season, senior wideout. Came back.
You were talking about that too. Yeah, we talked about that before the football season started.
Yeah, he had rehabilitated. He was, I believe it's shoulder, but I don't. I'd have to go back and look. Had 4 surgeries and you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of rehab. Missed part of baseball season last year, but has come back. Caught a touchdown pass, had 104 yards receiving. Like I said, he was an all-conference receiver last year for Nokomis, and they've missed him this year. So, but it was really nice to have him back on the field, be able to play for the Redskins. So,
absolutely.
like I said, really cool moment there too. So,
absolutely. South Mac, the Bunker Hill Mount Olive Co-op, the Chargers, they lost to our Alton Marquette this past week. So Marquette clinches the Prairie State Conference title. And they were the only team postseason eligible going into Week 8, but they're the conference champions. Could end up in the same class with a lot of our area teams because their enrollment this year, I believe, is 416 or 419, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we may end up seeing them in a playoff game. But yeah, nevertheless, excuse me, South Mac 5-3 on the season, looking good for very good for a playoff spot, 38 playoff points right now through 8 weeks. So chances are they're going to get in, even if they play East Alton Wood River in week 9. Chances are they're going to get in even if they lose, because they're probably going to end up with over 40 playoff points. And it's been a while since a team with over 40 points missed the postseason. I don't know if it's ever happened. So,
yeah,
they're probably gonna get in. South Mac. I think we went down all the South Central scores. I don't know specific scores, but like we said, Pena beat Litchfield, Carlinville beat Staunton, Hillsboro beat Southwestern, Greenville beat Gillespie, and Vandalia beat Roxana.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nokomis lost to East Alton Wood River. South Mac lost to Alton Marquette. North Mac defeated Riverton, so they are still alive for the postseason chase. They're 4-4. They will play Maroa Forsyth in week 9, who is 7-1. So that's going to be a tough game for North Mac to get back into the postseason, but we'll see.
Yeah, Maroa is always a good team.
Yeah.
They got a neat thing on their field. They have like a
turf?
No, they well, I don't know.
Yeah.
They have one of these wraps that goes around the outside fence, and they have like action shots of the football team on it.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat, and it's really eye-catching. I drove past it whenever I was coming home from the state tournament.
Well, that is really neat.
Yeah, so it looked like it might have been expensive. But,
well, but they can afford it.
Yeah, so but yeah, so yeah, cool
their
deal there.
Their field is it is turf. Probably one of the few small school turf fields in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, this has nothing to do with any of those teams, but Althoff Catholic just replaced their turf, and they were playing on Lindenwood last year, and I just know that because Lindenwood's turf is like maroon.
Yeah, so, and like red striped, isn't it?
I think so, something like that. Yeah, it's eye catching.
Yeah,
sure.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Don't adjust your TV screens if you're watching it on TV.
It's you gotta find a hook, you know. Yeah. I mean, like the Smurf turf and Boise State. Yeah. So,
yeah. Are there any other odd colored football fields out there?
I don't know. They've started doing weird things with basketball courts, like up in Oregon. They have the trees on the court, like some kind of painting type stuff or decal.
Boise State's is weird too, or it was. It was blue and orange. Their basketball court was.
Really?
Yeah. So, the Oregon, like you said, they have the trees, and I'm surprised Oregon doesn't change their court as often as they do.
Yeah.
Of course, it'd be more work to do that than jerseys.
It's a little more complicated, yeah. but yeah. I know, like I said, yeah, it gets eye catching if nothing else. I'm not sure it has that big of an effect on how they play, but
it shouldn't. But who knows?
But
although people complained years ago with Boise State when they were having their run of dominance, they complained about the field because they claimed it had some sort of gave Boise State some sort of competitive advantage because of the color. I'm not sure how.
And
but
yet when they beat them, you don't hear those complaints. Right. So right. whenever they're good, people complain. Yeah. I heard their geese land on it.
Really?
Yeah. They think it's water. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but.
I would assume geese are colorblind.
I don't know.
You can't tell at some point. I don't know.
I've never asked one.
Well, me either. Never had a conversation with a goose.
Yeah.
Cross country, did anything go on big last week with cross country?
No, just meet. Today is the South Central Conference meet at Schneider Park in Brighton. So should be some pretty good runners there. There's freshman from Staunton named Lydia Roller. That has got to be one of the favorites for.
She a high roller?
Yeah, that's exactly what
Lydia Highroller.
Yeah, but she's a pretty good runner, so she ought to be up toward the top there. Litchfield's Maddie Throne and Caroline Corton ought to do pretty well as on the boys' side, Ryan Pogenpohl ought to do pretty well for Litchfield. Jason Landon from Carlinville. I would suspect we'll be up there. Carlinville usually has a pretty solid boys team, so I expect them to do pretty good.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. They'll have a new girls champion because Claudia Magnuson from Pena graduated. So last year she won it. So I think she could outran my car.
Was Ryan the boys champion last year? Ryan Pogue?
No, Ryan finishes a little bit lower in the pack, okay. But he does a good job for Litchfield. Some of the Carlinville guys. Hey, he did make all conference last year. I would suspect he'll be right in that hunt along with maybe even Cam Lee from Litchfield as well.
Do you remember
who
the boys champion was last year?
I don't, not off the top of my head. I think it was probably. I want to say it was probably Corey Landon from Carlinville who graduated, but I may be thinking the year before.
Okay.
I want to say Corey Landon won four straight South Central Conference titles, but I could be mistaken on that too. He was a heck of a runner. So. Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be the first one that came out of Carlinville.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've known to produce one or two. So.
Yeah. Volleyball regionals will be coming up soon. When do they start? The season's wrapping down. They're not this week.
No, they're next week. Okay. So, but
and then like you said, Lincolnwood's hosting a sectional or super sectional.
Super
so
sectional.
Cool.
So, yep. Hopefully they're playing in it. Yeah. You know, for their sake. So, but
they're good enough.
Good.
They're good enough.
They're legit.
And then winter sports will be here.
There you go. Wrestling and basketball.
Yeah.
Not at the same time.
Well, no, but. Maybe one day for charity they'll play a wrestling match on half the court and basketball game on the other half.
There you go.
Or just mix it all together and
yeah,
go crazy.
Nothing can go wrong with that.
Absolutely not. I'm sure that insurance companies wouldn't have a problem with that.
Nah.
That's going to do it for this edition of The Brushback here on WSMIRadio.com. Again, you can catch us every Monday afternoon on WSMIRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at BrushbackWSMI, at DJenkinsWSMI, at JN Sports. You can read Kyle Herschelman in the Journal News. His column is Center and Guard, and I don't think he has a set time that it comes out. It just
whenever the feeling moves me.
Yeah, there you go. Just read the Journal News and
there you go.
Try to catch it whenever it comes out. And he'll be covering all the area sports and other things that's going on in the area.
Absolutely.
I think we've about had it on this one. Have a good week, everybody.